Hi, welcome to the podcast, The Socially Inspired Investor, where you can not only expand your knowledge of rewarding investment strategies, but also address environmental and socially responsible investing alternatives with important insights from experts in the field. I'm Pat O'Neill, your host for these monthly programs, which feature ESG, Environmental, Social, and Governance Stories in Focus, The Spotlight, a close look at a person, company, or special items of interest in the ESG world. On this initial podcast episode, we'll shine the spotlight on the Seasons of Advice Wealth Management Stewardship Personal Values Portfolios, a more sophisticated way of investing for doing good. And a deep dive discussion with notable experts this month on the topic Socially Responsible Investing Grows Up, which is also featured in the companion ESG Digest articles on the website ESGinvestorsdigest.com. The spotlight on this episode is Seasons of Advice Wealth Management Stewardship Personal Values Portfolios, which are designed for investors who want to invest based on their personal values without compromising returns. We have two guests today to talk about just that. Charles Hamaway, co-founder and CEO of Seasons of Advice Wealth Management in New York City. He is a CPA and certified financial planner and editor-in-chief of the ESG Investors Digest. We also have Saad Tahir, who's a senior vice president and a partner of investments and operations at Seasons of Advice. Charles, what inspired you to start the Stewardship Personal Values Portfolios in the first place?
Pat, actually, it was a couple of years ago in February, I think it was 2018. And unfortunately, we all remember a horrific shooting in Parkland, Florida. And that sort of started a tipping point of communications I started to receive from my clients, very different than I've ever had before. There were definitely other terrible shootings that have happened, but almost immediately, people were starting to ask about the content of their investments. Like, am I investing in guns? As a matter of fact, you know, they started, well, do I invest in guns? Am I investing in companies that pollute the environment? Am I investing in things that I don't agree with from a value standpoint? And that's never been a significant issue in the 30 years that I've been in business. But now this seems to be a social consciousness where people are much more interesting. So the truth was that at that point, pretty much all mainstream investments, index funds, mutual funds do include gun companies. They include coal and energy companies and companies that maybe produce products that not everybody wants to support. So it really dawned on me that we are at a time that we need to now be more accountable, not just for returns, which are extremely critical, but also to the values that people have. And we knew, because of the way the investments are structured, because of the way the industry is, we knew it'd be hard to actually divest from normal investments. So we embarked on a strategy, which I'm thrilled to be able to talk about today, where we were able to give their clients a vote on their investment dollars that reflects their personal values. So that became the stewardship way of investing. And we think that in the future, this will be the kind of investments that people deserve and will be asking for.
Saad, how do you go about your approach on filtering investments for the stewardship personal values portfolios?
At Seasons of Advice, we have our own proprietary algorithm that we use to narrow down the universe of funds and ETFs. At the onset, when we started looking at the stewardship personal values portfolios, we basically took that narrowed down, filtered down list of investments that we get using our algorithm, and we further wanted to test out how we can eliminate or filter for certain concerns that people, our clients, have brought to us. So employing research tools like Morningstar and Sustainalytics, we were able to filter for sustainability ratings on these investments and only take investments that had ratings of above average or better. Once we had that list and that got narrowed down to a few hundred options, we then overlay certain areas of concern on that tighter list to get it to a more manageable number of investments from which we could further pick out our portfolio. And some of these areas of concern include controversial weapons, small arms, palm oil, thermal coal, tobacco, and animal testing, which is an optional filter we can employ for clients. So Once we put these filters on that list of investments to exclude any investments that have more than 5% of their assets invested in companies dealing with these different concerns, we were able to cherry pick investments in all the asset classes in our asset allocation model, compare them to their relevant benchmark indices and their peers to see if the performance stacked up, which in most cases it did, and then we were able to create a portfolio ranging from conservative all the way to aggressive, which became the Seasons of Advice Stewardship Personal Values portfolios.
So there is, you'd say, a big difference between this approach and, say, buying a singular socially conscious mutual fund.
That's a great question. I definitely think there is a big difference because what a singular investment, and let's take the Vanguard FTSE Social Index Fund as an example, what an investment like that gives you or what it's offering you is one investment that primarily invests in stocks and comes with a risk profile and risk metrics of a stock investment. Our goal with the Stewardship Personal Values portfolios is to provide a fully asset allocated portfolio that not only manages risk by giving you access to your stocks, bonds, and alternatives, but breaks it out into as much as 23 or 24 different asset categories, which could include government bonds, corporates, high yields. As far as stocks go, you have your largest, the mid, small cap stocks, international. And then on the alternative side, we like to include fund of funds, and we're working on a couple of structured note investments that could potentially fit into this portfolio. So I believe a fully asset allocated portfolio that manages risk by investing in all these different asset classes and investments is the single biggest differentiator between a prepackaged or pre-canned fund and a fully allocated portfolio.
Have you been surprised by any of the findings you've turned up while you've been doing the research, while you've been getting into this more and more?
Definitely. I mean, there's definitely been over the last couple of years a few surprise or aha moments as we've continued to work on the Stewardship Personal Values portfolios. I mean, the biggest one that comes to mind right off the bat is the continuous addition of investments that now have an ESG mandate. I mean, from when we started looking in these, the sheer number, the increase in number of investments has been really surprising. I mean, and then recent announcements by companies like BlackRock who want to go all ESG with their investments, that will only help the situation by adding more options.
And I also would like to add, some of the surprises are the kind of companies that actually you may not think have very good ESG ratings because of whatever reason or the press, but there are some excellent companies that have really excellent ESG ratings. You look at companies like a McDonald's, you look at companies like an American Express, you look at companies that are doing a great job that are out there balancing what their products are doing to the environment and how that they're offsetting that with footprints, as well as today, what's really a big concern is how those companies treat their own employees, the diversity, whether they have women in leadership, LGBT. And so I think that was a surprise to see how advanced companies were already in dealing with social issues.
Well, how does, say, my weaving my own personal values and principles into an investment portfolio strategy like this help or hurt performance?
It's our job to make sure it doesn't. When Saad was talking about filtering in every single asset class, what we have is viable alternatives that have returns that are just as good as what is not filtered. That's our job. And so we go through and we make sure that when we execute the recipe of your investments, the ingredients that we use are socially responsible investments, but you're not compromising returns.
We haven't really directly mentioned climate change and the risks to investors. Most climate change scenarios seem rather overwhelming when you're looking down the road. I mean, how can you manage that?
This is a very interesting topic that you start to bring up, is how do we leverage the power of the people to make companies recognize the impact that they're going to have in the world. And so there are a lot of initiatives going on worldwide to influence the board of directors of a lot of these companies. And believe you me, they've really taken notice. If you've looked at the subjects of questions that are brought in when we've had quarterly calls, earnings calls from companies, the amount of questions that come up with people being concerned about climate issues have tripled over the last year even. So the idea is to get the leadership of these companies aware that it is important to the consumer that there is accountability out there. And efforts like the stewardship portfolio, when people put money into that, you're actually telling them that people will vote their dollars, and that's the most powerful thing that you can do.
Well, how do the stewardship personal values portfolios determine which companies are managing well enough to be well positioned down the road?
We don't use different criteria just because they're socially responsible. We require anything that's in the stewardship portfolio to meet the same investment standards and performance of anything that was not there. So we've been in business for 30 years. We have portfolios where our goals are to meet or exceed benchmarks net of any fees. And we're in business and we do that for our clients. That's our goal. And so we're not going to compromise returns. So we're going to go through the same arduous process that we have to go through for every investment, regardless of whether it's socially responsible or not. Now the clients get another level of filtering.
Well, how do you think the stewardship personal values portfolios is going to evolve over time? Because we have so many changes going on within the industry.
Yeah, and I think that that's a fun question to answer. If we're just even with the benchmarks, if we just do the same returns as not, I think we accomplished something. But I think it's more than that. I think the question is, what is a smart investment approach for the long run? And so now you have to say that are the companies that are going to succeed 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years down the line, when you're going to use your retirement money, when your kids are going to go to college, are those companies going to do well? And I think what we actually see right now, and there's a whole worldwide research behind this, is that companies that make good socially responsible decisions actually may perform better. They'll have less of an anchor around their neck. Maybe they don't have to clean up waste dumps. Maybe they'll have product lines that are not being protested in the streets. And so in the long run, I think you're going to find that it's going to become the standard for investments. And that already has been announced by companies like BlackRock, that they're already including that in their filtering systems.
Terrific. Okay, well, thank you, Charles Hamowick, co-founder and CEO of Seasons of Advice Wealth Management in New York City, and Saad Tahir, Senior Vice President, Partner Investments and Operations at Seasons of Advice Wealth Management. And we have more coming up on Socially Inspired Investing in a moment. This segment is on Socially Responsible Investing Grows Up. After 30 years of slow growth, the past 9 years have seen a dramatic increase in the amount of money managed by professionals going into responsible investing strategies. We have Charles Hamowy with us again. He's co-founder and CEO of Seasons of Advice Wealth Management in New York City, and Paul Ellis, founder of Paul Ellis Consulting and host of the Sustainable Finance Podcast. Well, what about the returns and performance? Is there a big trade-off with ESG investing? Charles?
Well, I think that 20 years ago, I think there is a big trade-off. I think you found that most investments were really focused on the values-based and the return was secondary. But as demand has grown and a supply of more competitively investable options have appeared worldwide, returns are actually considered just as good on the socially responsible side as well as in the regular side.
Charles, what are green bonds and how would they go into part of this arrangement? This strategy.
So the concept, Pat, of green bonds is where you're using the funds to fund public works or things that are for the betterment of the environment or for the climate. So for instance, you can use bonds to fund cleanup projects, or you can use green bonds to develop water purification. Things like that are considered green bonds. And what you're finding now, the trend, there is a lot of green bonds being developed for international activities, but it's really hard for the average consumer to know whether or not they are fully socially responsible without doing the research.
Are there companies that get involved in green bonds too, or is that strictly municipalities and other government agencies?
I think that there are a lot of companies that are now focusing just on environmental cleanup. A lot of private development is going into around the world into developing energy efficient things. So it's much more the municipalities, and the trend is that there's a lot more independent private companies. I know, Paul, you know some of them.
Yes, Charlie. I recently hosted a webinar on the Sustainable Finance Podcast where three fixed income asset managers were the panel. They ran the gamut of fixed income investing, from tax-free municipal bonds here in the United States to corporate bonds on a global basis. But it's a very broad reach across all fixed income categories. And because the bond market is 4 or 5 times larger, I think, than the stock market, right, Charlie? There's a lot more potential for increasing flows as part of people's portfolios.
The phrase ESG, what are we talking about?
The concept of ESG, which is environmental, social, and governance. Over the years, it's really been socially responsible or values-based. But as people started to look at it and try to define it, they found it's more than just environment. It's about how companies treat their employees. It's about whether or not for the social good these companies are putting out products that are good. And so it's a newer term, which is now being used to encompass very major categories that used to be just socially responsible investing and values-based investing. So it's more of a broad umbrella, ESG.
So how much money do I need to get involved in this to invest? Is it relatively simple for most investors? Or are we going up the ladder here?
Oh, it's absolutely available for investors of any size. You can have simple ETFs or index funds that you can invest in on a commercial basis. And it would definitely get you in the direction you want to be. You have to remember that this whole concept of investing socially responsible, you can't be a purist at this point in time. As financial instruments are being developed, they're able to filter out some objectionable things. But still, you might be able to get down to 90, 95%. And in that regard, there's a lot of things that are available. Now, I have to really say that the goal of the investments should start with being a proper fundamental investment to begin with. So the idea of having a portfolio that's not structured the right way, and then you went for socially responsible investing, is really kind of putting the cart before the horse.
So you are trying to balance it out here. The idea is still to make money. You just want to do it in as socially responsible a way as possible.
Yeah, it's to make money, but also to manage risk. So there's this balance, right? There's this balance between how much risk do you want to take as opposed to what kind of return that you want to get. It tends to be when you buy the things off the shelf, index funds, they tend to be the more riskier ones because they tend to be just stocks. But as you become more complex, whether it's on your own or with the help of a professional advisor, then you want to start to get into what's called asset allocation. And now you want to start to have a mixture, different types of stocks, different types of bonds. And so you can have a portfolio that is very complex and still be socially responsible, but you still have to design it the right way first.
Is it difficult to find companies that have a good corporate responsibility rating, Paul?
Pat, corporate social responsibility is a reporting process that many corporations have been engaging in for a number of years. The issues with it has been that it's a voluntary process. There are no government set up or even investment industry protocols that require companies to follow a particular reporting methodology. That is becoming more prominent today as firms focus on what they consider to be core business issues in addressing ESG metrics. But it's still a voluntary process in most cases.
So does this change the thinking at a lot of companies, the way they try to build up these categories and try to make themselves more socially responsible? How does that all work? Because they must be set in a certain philosophy already. It must be difficult to change.
Well, I don't think they're changing their philosophy. What they are being required to do by investors and asset managers is report on more specific issues that they are engaging in related to environmental, social, and governance impact.
Has this all come about because of the way things have gone in the world, because of the way companies are thinking? Or is it this kind of pent-up demand among investors and consumers to go in this direction?
That brings up a very interesting societal question. I think what this is a confluence, a tipping point, if you will, of the desire for the public in general to have more control of their destiny. Why and how that is, that's for maybe a different podcast at another time. But I do think that over time, people want to have more control. Maybe it's less confidence in leadership, I don't know. But people want to have control.
I think, Pat, that it's really both. It is pent-up demand, as investors are really seeking more opportunity to integrate their personal issues around environmental, social, or governance matters into their investment portfolio strategies. And at the same time, companies are more sensitive to all of these issues today because of internet communications, because we have access to so much more data about how companies are performing literally on a day-to-day basis.
Are we all going to see this continue, or is it just kind of a short-term trend? Is it going to fizzle out at some point as companies change their minds, or maybe as performances change a little bit?
I think that's an excellent question. The answer is we don't know. First of all, the trend is not even a trend yet. Okay. All right. I think if you looked back a couple of years ago, this would be a conversation that would be completely on an alternative category, mm-hmm. as we say in the investment world. However, in the last year, if you look at the statistics of how many people call in to companies with questions when they do their quarterly reports, mm-hmm. the subject matter of socially responsible investing now has tripled in one year. So I think if it's a trend that's going to fizzle out, it's not fizzling out right now. Now, the question really is, if you don't mind me saying, is there a benefit to this that is not just to save the planet? Is this smart investing? Are we embarking on a point where good investments, smart investments, investments that are going to give you the best return in the long run, actually are ones that eliminate the kind of companies that are going to have toxic waste cleanups? Are they going to be the kind of companies that are generating products that are not going to have lawsuits? And I think to the extent that this drives corporate decisions into having better products and things that are better for the environment, then no, I don't think it's just a trend. I think it's going to be smart investing for the future.
Pat, let me just add to Charlie's comment. In 2019, in the United States, the amount of assets flowing into professionally managed portfolios that use ESG metrics quadrupled in one year to over $20 billion. In Europe last year, $136 billion in new money came into these types of structured portfolios. So there is clearly a very large appetite on the part of the investing public for this type of approach. And I think Charlie's right. It's something that is here to stay.
Well, I guess then on that count, it's way too early to tell far down the road what these kinds of investments are going to do in a bear market, for instance. I mean, we've been pretty fortunate with the bull market going on for so long, but we don't really know how it's going to shift if times start getting more difficult.
Exactly. And that's what I was saying before. First and foremost, you need to have a fundamentally sound investment structure. You need to have your asset allocation in place. You need to be picking companies that make profits. You're not going to abandon sound investing strategies for this. So if you have a sound investment strategy, you can live through markets that go up and down. We have in the past. This is not an indication that that you should abandon that. So time should be taken to make sure you have fundamentally good techniques in choosing what you choose, rebalancing your portfolio. And through that, an asset allocation process is extremely important. That will take you through, just like we've had bull markets in the past, we'll have them in the future. Whether or not you're sitting with socially responsible investments or not should not matter.
There is also historical reference for these types of investment strategies over the last 20 years as being really no different related to market volatility. In other words, if they are sound portfolios, as Charlie's saying, fundamentally, they are sound portfolios with the ESG measurement integrated into them as well.
Okay. Charles and Paul, thanks so much. That's all on socially responsible investing growing up. Charles Hamowy, co-founder and CEO of Seasons of Advice Wealth Management in New York City, a CPA and certified financial planner and editor-in-chief of the ESG Investors Digest, and Paul Ellis, founder of Paul Ellis Consulting and host of the Sustainable Finance Podcast. This podcast is copyrighted by Seasons of Advice Wealth Management. It is published and provided for informational and entertainment purposes only, and not for individualized investment advice. Please go to our website, soawealth.com, for additional information. We'll be back next month with more ESG stories in focus, another deep dive discussion and companion ESG Digest articles, and the spotlight feature on developments in this industry. Our podcast mission is to make socially inspired and ESG investing more consumer friendly. This is the Socially Inspired Investor.